Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the place where people get together and bitch about free speech because we don't have it anymore, except on RBN. You can come here and you can, can I say bitch on RBN? I'm not sure if I can, but I did. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Follow the instructions for sending badly needed fundage. Because we need it badly. And without RBN, where are you going to go and bitch about free speech? Okay, well, today is Tuesday. This is the day that Mark Collett hops across the pond. And we're happy to have him. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. I hope you are doing well. I think there's been a few interesting developments over in the sphere of the Ukraine and Russia conflict, and I've got to say, there's quite a bit to unpack here in terms of the, shall we call it, the assassination of, or the attempted assassination of Dugin, and what amounts to the assassination of his daughter, which I've got to say, you know, before we sort of get started, I do find it I do find it completely sickening. I find the fact that this young girl was killed in this way, and she is a civilian. You know, she's not a combatant. She's not a member of the Russian government. She's not somebody in any position of authority. She is simply a young girl who has been caught up in this. And as a dissident politician, I think to myself, well, you know, could this, you know, how would I feel if this was my daughter?
Indeed. You know, we've had stuff like this. I remember, this reminds me of, 1986 or whatever it was when the Reagan administration did some bombing of Libya and wound up killing Muammar Gaddafi's 2-year-old daughter. And now, I mean, so Dugina, I guess that was her name, the younger Dugin, she was a journalist, but I don't think she was the intended target. Apparently they were coming back from some event, and they would have been coming back in the same car, and that was Dugin's car, but at the last minute, for whatever reason, Dugin decided to stay on a bit longer and come home separately. So whether they were attempting to get the daughter as well, you know, or knew that she would be there as well. But of course, it seems almost certain that the intended target was Dugin, the father. Here's the thing. And this is, you know, this has always been something that I thought was a little bit bizarre. You know, I'm wondering about this. I've been following Russian politics. I followed it very, very heavily in the 80s and the 90s. I was very interested in what was going on even before Gorbachev, during Gorbachev, and then during Yeltsin, when everything was just so insane. And I'd never heard of Dugin. I never heard of Dugin until maybe 6 years ago, when people started complaining about, people in the dissident right of the United States started complaining about Dugin. I was thinking, well, who is this guy? And if you read the RT articles about this assassination, they point out that he's actually more famous outside Russia than inside Russia. Inside Russia, he's kind of fringe. You know, he's had political parties. The political parties struggled to get any representation in the Duma. But outside Russia, at least in some circles, he's considered, you know, the Putin's brain, as if he's actually, you know, telling Putin what to do. And it was always my understanding that, yeah, Putin has about a circle of maybe 20 or 30 people around him who are important, and the decision makers in Russia, and Dugin's not one of them. So I don't know. I thought I'd kick that out there. I remember, like, even like Richard Spencer was, of all things, you know, one of the things that people were complaining about with Richard Spencer was his wife had translated Dugin's book into English. And somehow that was supposed to prove that Richard Spencer was a horrible person or a bad person. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
No. This is why I think this is such an interesting conversation to be having. Because in, what should we say, quote-unquote, right-wing circles, should we say that? Right-wing or nationalist circles? Are we not right-wing? All right, well, for the sake of this argument, we'll just say that we are, because...
I've never really have been right-wing in particular.
No, but that's what... Look, in our circles, then, in dissident right circles or in nationalist circles, whatever you want to call us, I'm not particularly fussed, to be honest, Patrick.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, in our circles, there has been this thing about Dugin, that Dugin is almost this mystical, magical fellow who apparently has this great control in Russia, who is the mastermind of this thing called, he's written a book apparently called The Fourth Political Theory, and he has some great power and some great control.
He's the new Rasputin.
Yeah. And the Western media absolutely love this take, and the Western media have been, accurately calling him the new Rasputin, and they've obviously chosen that for a couple of reasons. Firstly, because he does have a beard and a certain Rasputin-esque look to him, but also because that has some pretty interesting connotations with it, him personally, but also for those who listen to him, because obviously Rasputin was a bit of a madman, but ultimately he helped lead to the downfall of all of those who did actually listen to him. So there's connotations for both sides, both for him and for those who are being accused of, you know, pandering to him or listening to him. Now, I do find all this quite interesting, because obviously there are people within the nationalist cause or within the dissident right who have interviewed him. There are people who have been said to be in league with him. And I hear the insult, "You're a Duginist shill," thrown around quite a lot, actually. It's something that I've been accused of, being a Duginist shill. Now, I'm not really sure I could be accused in any genuine sense of being a Duginist shill, because for my sins, I have never actually read any of his works. I don't really know much about him. I could obviously identify him in the sense of being able to look at him and say, yes, that is Alexander Dugin. But I wouldn't be able to, I don't have him in my Telegram contacts or anything of the sort. I've never read any of his books. I've never listened to any of his speeches. The closest I came to actually having anything to do whatsoever with Dugin was when Lauren Southern interviewed Dugin. She went to Russia and interviewed him. I did, at that point, have the interview, at one point, not for very long, but at one point, I had it in my to watch later on YouTube. So, you know, you can build those little playlists, and I had it in my to watch later playlist, but I never actually watched it. So, for my sins, I didn't actually go through with it and watched it. I was simply just, well, you know, that's that, and I moved on. And I have never really been particularly interested in what he's had to say, or believed him to be as influential as some on the quote-unquote right believe he is. Now, this is the interesting thing. Do we sometimes, and when I say we, I'm talking the royal we, the larger group, get things wrong? In the sense that sometimes we end up ascribing far too much power to people who don't actually have power. So there might be a think tank somewhere that says something we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we are all like, well, you know, when it comes down to it, this think tank is now the power behind the West. And, you know, all of a sudden, people are all over something, you know, analyzing it, picking it to pieces.
Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, they run everything.
Well, you see, this is the thing. I've had this from people. I've said to people in the past, I don't think Putin is as bad as Western leaders. And I've heard back from him. He was a member of Klaus Schwab's Young Economic Forum, Young World Leaders Circle. He attended some Young World Leaders event at some point.
Actually, and he wasn't, because he was too old to be young. And B, this whole young thing, it's just a free trip to Switzerland. It's not like you're going and there are, you know, there are political schools where you go and like in Japan, there's the Matsushita Juku and Matsushita Juku. That's, it's the same company, like the founder of the company. I'm sorry to interrupt, but the founder of the company of Panasonic, he has this training program and people, young people, like 30 years old, they'll, you know, they quit their job. They go, they get a stipend while they're there and spend a year studying how to be a politician. And then they run for office. And you've had at least one who went on to be prime minister. And, it's a real thing. This young leaders thing is just, you get a free trip to Switzerland and that's it. There's, you know, you attend an event for a day or something. It's completely misunderstood and overblown. But anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Well, this is what I mean. This is what I mean. And I'm not saying that this guy had no power. And I'm not saying, I'm not saying he had all the power. And what I am saying is, I'm not really sure about any of this. And I'm not saying that to sound like an idiot or a moron or somebody who hasn't taken this seriously enough. But I've never actually seen this man as some kind of major player in either the West or in Russia. I've seen him as a guy who has this fourth political theory. And I was introduced to him. Again, this is, people might find this interesting, they might not. But I was actually introduced to this guy, not for his thoughts and what he actually had to say, but because Richard Spencer's wife apparently had been employed to translate some of his books, his writings. Now, at this point, I've got to say to myself, well, why were people so in? Is this where this began, that he had this great power? Because I've had this before. People, being a nationalist, being in our world, and being in a world where the slightest thing can lead to a rabbit hole of insane conspiracies, I think that's what happened with Richard Spencer. Now, people know I'm not on great terms with Richard Spencer anymore. I had a bit of a debate with him about his new belief system. He seemed to leave early. We haven't spoken since. I doubt he ever wants to speak to me again. He seemed rather annoyed that he'd been challenged. I have no ill will to him, towards him. I just don't think he is one of us anymore. But when he was one of us, and when he was, if he ever was one of us, because some people now say he wasn't, and he was just doing it for self-promotion, but either way, let's say he was one of us. When he was one of us, people were trying to bring him down. People had bad things to say about him. People were trying to besmirch his name in numerous ways, like they do with all leading nationalists. And a lot of these people who try to besmirch leading nationalists actually, interestingly, claim to be nationalists themselves. I would dispute that, say a lot of the people who try to besmirch leading nationalists aren't nationalists at all. They are people who are working for the state in some way, posing as a guy who's just asking questions, but really is trying to bring somebody who's doing good work or interesting work into disrepute. And one of the ways they tried to bring Richard into disrepute was say, hey, there's this guy called Richard Spencer, and I just am very interested because his wife is translating all his books from Dugin. Well, she's making money from Dugin, thus she's in the pay of Dugin, thus, and there's a lot of thuses in this thing, thus, because this is how these people work. So now, you know, she's in the pay of Dugin, thus he pays her, thus as you're in the pay of somebody, you then do everything they say, because of course you do. You know, you can't accept a translation job without also being there, this person's evil minion who does terrible things for them on the side. Thus Richard Spencer, as he financially benefits in some way from Dugin, is under Dugin's control. This means that Spencer is a Dugin entryist, and he's trying to take over the right wing on behalf of Dugin. And I was a bit like, yeah. And when I say yeah, I really do mean it in that kind of tired, yeah. Because I've heard this kind of thing about people before. And it is conspiratorial nonsense. But I think it also ascribes far too much power to, often to the people that are being talked about. So do I think that Dugin has political interests? Yes, obviously he does. Do I think that Dugin is up to all kinds of tricks trying to control, you know, the dissident right here in the UK or in America? Probably not. Do I think he has the power to do those things? Absolutely not. Do I think he has some fringe influence in Russia, where he believes that the best thing for the Russian people is to establish a new Russian empire based on, you know, his ideology of sort of what he calls Eurasian supremacy, where, you know, all the different tribes of Russia come together to gain power across the world? Well, yeah, he might do. He probably does. But I don't think in any place he has the power people say he does. I haven't ever been shown any sort of credible proof that he has this power. And at this point, I look at these things and think to myself, what's probably happened here is people who are conspiratorially minded have got together to sort of concoct all of this. And fundamentally, what they've concocted is probably a bit of a soup of nonsense, if you like. And we, because we look into things, and sometimes we look into things so hard and so long, it ends up being a bit like, you know, when you're staring at a paint pattern on a wall, and eventually you're looking at it for so long, you see something that's not actually there. It's just a paint pattern. But after a while, you know, is it the sky? Is it a tree? Is that a dragon I can see? Who knows? Probably you can't. You've just been staring at the paint for too long. Because we're staring into these things for so long, maybe we find stuff that actually isn't there and fixate on the wrong things. I don't know what your take is on that, whether you think I've got it completely wrong, or, you know, whether, you know, or whether Dugin really is some great international, you know, James Bond villain mastermind.
Well, Dugin is somebody with his own ideas, and but yeah, I guess he was a philosophy professor or the equivalent thereof in, you know, the 1990s, and you know, wrote some books and got involved in politics. You know, the thing is, there's an expression: if the only tool you have is a hammer, then the whole world looks like a nail, right? Everything looks like a nail because that's all you have. And I always found that with these people who were fascinated with Dugin, that they typically didn't know any other Russian politicians besides Putin and Dugin, to the extent Dugin's even a politician. They didn't know anybody else. You know, and it's not that I'm exactly a Russia expert. I was interested in becoming a Russia expert in the 80s and the 90s. That's actually what I wanted to study. I got my academic advisors said that, you know, seeing as I don't speak Russian, at least not very well, it was kind of too late to go into that. So I had the interest. I can't call myself a Russia expert exactly, but I'm somebody who's had a long-term interest. And I just know dozens and dozens of names of Russian politicians and important figures from, you know, the past few decades. And Dugin wasn't one of them. And then, you know, somebody says, "Oh, Dugin." And I'm saying, okay, A, who's Dugin? And B, the person saying Dugin doesn't know anybody else. So there was just fixation on Dugin. And, you know, if that's the only person you know, then he has to be really, really important. And this is the type of thing that we encounter a lot. You know, you said, you know, the think tank, there will be some think tank that all of a sudden is the most important. It's controlling everything. Although every several years, the name of, you know, you get a different think tank because it hasn't always been the World Economic Forum. It was the Bilderbergers. It was a trilateral commission. You know, it's been other things that people have been focusing on.
Yeah, you missed a few out there. I mean, when I was a young man in the British National Party, the common one that people would always refer to was the European Union's Common Cause.
past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at susannasecret.com. That's SusannasSecret.com. SusannasSecret.com.
Yeah, you missed a few out there. I mean, when I was a young man in the British National Party, the common one that people would always refer to was the European Union's common cause. So that's what people always said it was. Oh, it's just common cause. Okay. You're right, there's been so many of these things. And then I find these things tend to be a little bit like, I don't know if you wish to watch The X-Files, but The X-Files used to have a format called Monster of the Week, where every week there was a different sort of monster that Mulder and Scully would...
Did The X-Files have monsters? I didn't know that. I never watched The X-Files. I thought The X-Files was something like a government FBI type of show. Were they fighting?
Yeah, I'm not going to explain it all to you now, Patrick, but it was usually an alien or a monster or some kind of supernatural or, it was either supernatural or strange going on, and then they'd have to investigate it that week. And basically, it led deeper and deeper to the point where they discovered that the FBI and the government were covering up the existence of all of these things to keep them away from the people, because the people obviously needed to know, but they were never going to know because the government was keeping it from them. But anyway, the point being that there's always been these different sort of monsters of the week that have been uncovered by... So it wasn't common cause, it was common purpose. Sorry, I was wrong there. I just looked that up. It's common purpose. That was it. I knew I was close. But anyway, these were things that have been discussed ad infinitum by different groups, and it's always something different. And I think Dugin did have his day. Dugin had his day as, you know, the big bad guy of the moment. And, you know, especially in our circles, with it being sort of exposed, so to speak, that Richard Spencer's wife translated his books, he became something people fixated on. And then the Western media's kind of run with this as well. I don't know if you've noticed, but the Western media also runs with this, that Dugin is kind of the mastermind of modern-day Russia. And I really don't think he is. I've never been presented with credible evidence. And it makes me wonder what the point, based on what we've said, what was the point of this assassination?
Well, okay, here's something. We have on RBN Mike Rivero. He does a daily news show. It's an excellent news show. He does a roundup of the news. And he puts in some commentary, and when he was reporting this, he said the Russians are already saying it was the, you know, they know who did it. They found the assassin, and you know, it's the Ukrainian government. And he was saying he doesn't think so. This is just Mike Rivero. He says his suspicion, he just doesn't see why Ukraine, with everything that it's facing, why they would lash out in this way. He says it seems to him more like either the CIA or the Mossad. And
the Western press have said it's all a false flag, which is very interesting because they never typically use terms like false flag.
Yeah. But so, you know, the thing is, building on what Mike said, the Ukrainians having been part of the Soviet Union and being right there and not having the linguistic barrier to Russia, you know, the Russian language, I don't think the Ukrainian government would exaggerate Dugin's importance like this. Whereas, say, the CIA might be full of people who don't know much about Russia. I mean, it seems to me that if this was an attempt to, like, bring down, like, destroy Putin so he wouldn't have his brain anymore, that's something that the unknowledgeable people in the United States, because even in the Mossad, I mean, I'm sure the Mossad is chock full of people like Jews from Russia who would know better. It actually seems like a CIA type of thing, because the CIA probably has very few people who really know anything about Russia, and probably has a whole bunch of people with the same kind of fundamental misunderstandings about Russia that you know, that people on the alternative right have. So why would they do it? I don't know. Like, I don't know, but the idea that whoever was behind it didn't know what the heck they were doing, that would point fingers to the United States, because the United States clearly doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Or they wouldn't have pushed Russia into this war. This war that is disastrous for the interests of the American state, and I'm glad it's disastrous for the interests of the American state, because the American state has become the biggest enemy of the American people. But, you know, the whole thing is just a disaster, and by people who... I mean, I think Victoria Nuland knows a thing or two about Russia, but has too many of her own ethnic grudges that she's, you know, that's why she does stupid things, because out of ethnic hatred that blinds her to reality. But I think in general in the United States, ignorance is probably the main factor. I don't know. Do you have any ideas about who or what might be behind this, or why?
Well, I don't have anything, but I do have questions.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
The invasion continues. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 4.9 million illegal aliens that we know of have entered the nation since Biden took office. 900,000 were gotaways, who were seen but not apprehended. 56 known terrorists were captured in the 4 million aliens that were processed. So using the same ratio of terrorists to aliens, there were probably 12 or more terrorists in the 900,000 gotaways. In reality, that ratio is probably higher because criminals and terrorists don't want to be caught. Fentanyl is now two-thirds of the overdose deaths in America. 1,200 people have been found dead on the U.S. side of the southern border. At least a dozen terrorists roam free in our country. Tell me again how an open border is the humane thing to do. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
I don't know. Do you have any ideas about who or what might be behind this or why?
Well, I don't have anything, Patrick, but I do have questions. Sometimes I have more questions than I have answers, and I'm not afraid to admit that. Some people like to claim they've got all the answers, but some people can be honest enough to say, hey, I'm not that sure. And I'm not that sure, and I'll tell you why I'm not that sure. Now, on one hand, I don't think this is a false flag. And I'll tell you why I don't think it's a false flag, because I don't think blowing up Alexander Dugin in Russia would mean anything to the Russian people. If Putin was going to do a false flag in Russia to get people fired up for more war, or to raise people's spirits into, you know, about the war, or potentially because he was desperate to get people to sign up to go and fight, or he was going to do something horrific like drop a nuke and he needed to justify that, I think the false flag would have been an attack on young, talented athletes or performers, so say a ballet stars or, you know, an orchestra somewhere that Russia was very proud of, and the people would have been outraged about, because it would have been completely innocent, completely, you know, quite well-known, talented young people. I don't think blowing up Alexander Dugin would actually win Putin any more sort of right to go into the Ukraine. I don't think Russians will be like, oh my gosh, this is a terrible thing. Well, I think they'll think it's terrible, but I don't think Dugin or his daughter are exactly beloved members of, you know, sort of the Russian sphere of influence. So yeah, I for one don't think it was a fed up. It wasn't a false flag. It wasn't the Russian feds doing this to drum up support for the war. Now, who could be the next group of people who would do this? Well, the next group of people who might do this would be the CIA, the British Secret Service, some of the influencers behind Zelensky. Now, I don't think this is their style either. I think if the influencers behind Zelensky were going to do anything, they would have done a false flag attack against the Ukraine to make Russia look even worse and to make Western populations think, wow, we really do need to get into this war. So, for example, if, again, something had been a target had been destroyed or a massacre had been uncovered in the Ukraine, which looked very suspicious, and that had been paraded all over Western news, that would have raised people's ire here in the West, and you would get people finally starting to maybe say, this has gone too far, this looks like what was happening, you know, during the Second World War, this is Nazi Germany 2.0, we need to make the greater sacrifice, we can't let this happen. So what I think would have happened, had it been a fed up from our side of the fence, so one of our federal agencies or one of our secret service groups, I think potentially you might have had, you know, a Russian rocket destroying a synagogue full of worshippers or something like that, or a supposed massacre of Jews by Russian forces. And that would have really, really ramped things up in terms of Western support for actual boots on the ground, military intervention or no-fly zones being imposed. So that's what I think would have happened if it had been from our people. So that leaves it leaves two other potential culprits. The first is somebody from the Ukrainian side. Now, this is a possibility. It could be someone who has something to do with Azov or something to do with one of these defense groups who actually has drank the Kool-Aid and believes that Dugin is the power behind the throne, who is actually making all of these things happen. And by removing him, it will shake up Putin and, you know, Rasputin will be dead and the war might sputter out without this man pouring his poison into Putin's ear. That is definitely a potential. But what's the fourth? And this is the most interesting. The fourth, it's some wild card, somebody we don't know of. Somebody who isn't on the Russian side, who isn't on the Ukrainian side, somebody who isn't one of the Western interventionists or Western powers, but somebody who personally has a beef with Dugin and wanted him dead for whatever reasons we don't know. Because I'm sure he has personal enemies. I'm sure he has nutters who wanted to blow him up. I'm sure he has people had people who wanted to see him out of the picture. And some of these people might believe the hype about him. Some of them might just have a personal grievance with him over something. He might be involved in things that we don't know about, where he deals with people who are potentially a little shady. And that does happen.
Are there shady groups in Russia that would actually kill people?
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. And I'm sure that if in Russia you got on the wrong side of shady people in Russia, they might be a lot shadier and a lot scarier than shady or scary people here in the West. They might be on a par with shady, scary people in Mexico, who are very shady and very scary and put to shame shady, scary people here in the West. You know exactly what I mean. I'm sure the viewers know what I mean. And based on that, based on those four potential culprit. I don't think it's Russia. I don't think it's the West, which leaves your wild card answer or a Zelensky allied group from the Ukraine, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe absolutely that this could be the kind of thing that somebody allied to Azov would do and think that, you know, they basically thinking that they're basically turning the tide of the war. Whereas in fact, those guys are just pawns or completely out of touch, I believe, with what with what's actually going on.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds pretty reasonable. I will say that, of course, the Mossad is very famous for assassinations, you know, and.
But why would they want him gone?
Yeah, I know. I just want to address that very quickly.
Let me address that very quickly. The Mossad are very famous for those kind of operations. I'm not an idiot. I know that. But the Mossad are also one of the best informed and most altogether when it comes to actual knowing who to get.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're not idiots, are they?
So, I mean, methodologically, it looks like the Mossad. But like I said before, I mean, I think the Mossad is probably full of, you know, Russian Jewish immigrants who know what's going on. And if they know what's going on, then why would they be going after Dugin? So that's good. With the United States, I mean, you have the recent, beginning of 2000, I guess it was, the assassination of General Soleimani, who was a legitimate big shot in the Iranian government. And so the CIA, like, I really don't think the CIA is very elite anymore, even if it ever was. So I wouldn't let the CIA completely off the hook as a possibility, but certainly I wouldn't say that they're the most likely candidate either. So I don't know. Hopefully we'll find out, and we'll just see. But you know, in the meantime, if we've exhausted that, there's also the issue of the West just kind of imploding as a result of pushing this war. And, you know, there's all sorts of negative fallout. There's a negative.
Well, I wanted to just raise something else because I don't think we have exhausted this.
Okay, well, let's go for it then.
I do have something that I think needs saying that I think is very important. I think there's something happening here which is, I think, very interesting. Because I do read the Daily Mail on, you know, a daily basis. I see what's going on in the Daily Mail. I always like to get the Daily Mail take on life, so to speak. And the Daily Mail take on this is that, you know, Dugin absolutely deserved this and that his daughter is some kind of acceptable collateral damage. Now, okay, fair enough, that's the Daily Mail take. But one thing I found very interesting was whether these accounts are fake accounts or whether these accounts are real accounts, I don't know. It seemed as if the actual average Daily Mail reader was completely lapping this up. That, you know, that this was a, you know, totally legitimate target, more or less that she deserved to have her brains blown out all over the street, and this was a good thing, it's brought the war home to Russia. And I've got to say this, the Daily Mail, your average Daily Mail sort of reader now, seems to be openly cheering for swastika-waving assassins crossing the Russian border and blowing up completely, completely non-military, targets of no interest, really. And that's something, isn't it? That's something. That shows you the level of media power. If we'd have said a year ago, your average Daily Mail reader would be cheering on swastika-waving assassins blowing up 30-year-old ladies who had nothing to do with a conflict, weren't decision makers, had no power whatsoever, people would say that'd be rubbish. That's not going to happen. And I think that's an important point to make. I think it's an important point to make that the media and their propaganda machine, I know we've often said the media is sort of losing its power or doesn't have the clout it once had, but when you look at something like this, it is, to a large degree, I believe, still quite frightening to see just how much power the media does have. And the fact that sort of what you would regard really as quite reasonable and usually relatively anti-war people, which is the Daily Mail readership is usually relatively anti-war, are absolutely at this point cheering on, you know, this kind of bloodshed. And whatever you think of Dugin, whatever you think of his ideology, and even if you do believe that he had some, you know, great amount of control over, you know, Putin or the Russian state, or he was in Putin's ear, I'm not sure how anybody can, with any decency, can turn around and actually say his daughter deserved to be blown, you know, blown to death in some, you know, horrific car bombing. I fail to see how that is a reasonable response. So, for example, I can't stand Tony Blair. I think Tony Blair is an evil man. I think he's a war criminal. I think he's somebody that deserves to be on trial. But I wouldn't drag, I wouldn't say, right, let's also get his sons on trial, or, you know, his nephews or nieces. You know, that would be, that would seem to go against any form of actual natural justice, if you know what I'm saying. But here, you have people actually advocating for blowing up, you know, people who are otherwise meant to be rational people that we are trying to reach out to, and usually, you know, are generally seen as conservative with a small c, who are actively salivating over this girl being blown up. And that just makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Well, this, you know, you mentioned that they seem to be cheering swastika waving battalions crossing the border and committing assassination. The pro tip to the Daily Mail readers is just because somebody has a swastika tattooed on their chest doesn't necessarily make them the good guy.
That's funny for a number of reasons, Patrick.
Well, I try. I do my best. You know, we're seeing so many things. This is bringing out so many things. It's, I guess it's kind of the icing on the cake of the so-called liberal left becoming complete warmongers, becoming absolutely the party of war, you know, here in the United States. And of course, this war is just, if you wanted to destroy, the current situation where the United States is the world's only superpower and the Western countries, you know, really run the world. Well, this is how you do it, and everything's just falling apart. It seems like just all self-inflicted wounds. We started to record that the Bureau of Statistics in the UK is says that the year 2000 they downwardly revised GDP for Britain for the year 2020, and it's like negative 10.7% or something. Or negative 13% maybe, the worst figure in 300 years. And of course, things are going to get pretty bad this year as well. It just seems like everything's falling apart. With these extreme sanctions where they froze Russian bank assets, central bank assets, where they're not allowing, you know, Russian civilians to fly to the EU, and they're excluding Russian athletes from everything. It makes, you know, if you were in any non-Western country, whether you're in South Asia or Southeast Asia or Africa or Latin America, you start wondering, well, you know, this could happen. They could do this to anybody. It just makes the Western countries, the G7 and whatever, just seem like completely unreliable partners. And I think that historians, actually a lot of present commentators too, but future historians will look back at this as the nail in the coffin of the Western dominated world. What do you think?
Well, I think this is all quite, I think there's a couple of things to unpack there. I think one of the interesting things, and we've said this before, but I think it does need reinforcing, is the way this has all been enforced, this sort of these sanctions upon Russia is very much not sanctions on Russia, but sanctions upon every Russian. And I think that's that is very important to stress. So if you are just a common or garden Russian living here in the West, you probably are sweating right now. And that's really interesting, isn't it? Because when the war in Iraq took place, or when the war in, you know, Afghanistan took place, we welcomed Afghans. We welcomed
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
When the war in Iraq took place, or when the war in, you know, Afghanistan took place, we welcomed Afghans, we welcomed Iraqis here, and we were told by our government, no, you must not judge all of these, you know, Iraqis, we must not judge these Afghans, their friends, their asylum seekers, you know, not everyone in Iraq can be characterized by the actions of Saddam Hussein. You know, we must welcome these people into our fold. That was the narrative. I think you'll agree. Yet here, every Russian is the enemy. every Russian is a legitimate target almost. And I'm not sure if I've ever seen that level, not in my lifetime anyway, ever seen that level of hatred for another ethnic group in the West. And that would be the kind of thing that, as I said, if it was aimed at Jews, if I said, right, we've had enough of the way that these Jews persecute Palestinians, something must be done. Something must be done. We have to impose sanctions, but we're not just imposing sanctions upon Israel itself or on every Israeli citizen, but on anybody here in the West who supports the state of Israel, and that includes sort of all these Jews. It would be unthinkable. You'd never get away with that. Even, and if I suggested that as a political point, as Mark Collett just suggesting that, throwing that out as a political commentator and saying, hey, this would be a good way to put pressure on the Israeli government if we impose sanctions on every Jew here in the West, I'd probably be arrested. I'd be expecting a knock on the door. And the argument would be made that by lumping in every single Jew with, the Israeli Defense Forces or those bombing or shooting Palestinians, I was actually guilty of committing an offense under the Race Relations Act because I was tarring an entire racial group with the negative actions of a few from amongst that group. And this, in terms of the Race Relations Act, is quite clearly, this treatment of Russians is quite clearly illegal. Yet it's going ahead. So I think that's something that's very important to unpack. So when you say, Russian athletes aren't allowed to compete, people of Russian descent aren't allowed to play in orchestras, that is essentially something that is completely unprecedented here and wouldn't be allowed to be implemented against any other group.
No, you're right there. Well, we are coming to the end of the show, but I want to thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Well, I want to thank you for inviting me. It's been a really interesting show, and I think we've talked about a few things today which are different to what we have talked about recently. So it's actually been quite really refreshing and interesting, and I could have actually gone for a bit longer. I'm actually sorry it's wrapped up so quickly because there has been quite a bit to unpack, and I do think a little bit more of a discussion rather than us just giving our opinions is always quite interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again sometime. Okay, well, thank you so much. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.